Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, this is part two of our lovely chat with Raven. If you haven't heard part one, head back to the feed, have a listen to that. I'm a chronological fan myself. Call me old-fashioned. And if you have heard part one, here it is. Here's part two, I mean. Not confusing, Chris.
One of the things that's very funny in the book that you mentioned, which you said you would never speak about again, but here we are, is being on the teat from your mother for, you
oh
said
my God.
4 years, and she said 18 months.
When I was like 21, I went to a wedding. It was in that era where people were drinking cider in a pint glass full of ice, which was like, there were two summers where all anyone did.
I still do that.
Was, okay.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay. So we were drinking this, and my friend was like, my dad was really strict when we were growing up, and I was like, it's quite boring. And she was like, we didn't let us have any sweets. That's why I still got all of my baby teeth. And then she opened her mouth, and her teeth were all tiny. And I was like, I was like, oh no. And my mum's like, said, that's not that weird. I breastfed Raven till he was four in front of everybody.
Oh,
and I was like, that's fucked up. And then when she read the first draft of the book, she went, that's not true, take it out. So in a way, I feel like she just doesn't want it in writing.
So did you concede and agree to 18 months?
I agreed to put a footnote saying she has contested the 4 years. But my MySpace page still says my mum's breastfed me twice four. I have no idea how to change it. No way to get back into that account.
But isn't it interesting that even in that, that being breastfed by your mother is already like a thing where it's like, oh, you know, not a proper man, you know, like it's like, oh, it feminizes you. It does things to you.
It de-adults you, doesn't it? You're meant to just come of age and be sort of like horny and sexual and formed.
By what age?
Aren't you?
Well, not by
just come of age. The whole book is me being like, I think at this point in my life I was coming of age, but that's felt like it's been true for 20 years.
You also don't hold back in the book, which I think is extraordinary and brilliant. And I think the thing that people will connect with, you know, because there's lots of very funny stories about you and people like the Kens, who I want to come on to. But, well, let's talk about the Kens for a minute. Tell me about the Kens.
The Kens are these two men that Richard and my husband and I know, and they're like really fucking muscly. Mm. Like how you would draw a muscly man at the beach. And yes. We went to Greece and they were there, and their bodies are like pornographic. Like it's not eroticized. And also it's like, this is not, when I'm looking for men, like what catches my eye, I don't look for like super muscly beach bums, but you can't ignore the fact that their bodies are this like chiseled moment happening, like this fantasy that's happening in real life right in front of you. Yeah. It's just insane. It's insane to look at. And it's like, I say in the book, it's like, they're like living erections, like their whole body is like, let's go. And you're like, okay. And they're really gentle, nice men. Like, not that erections are not gentle and nice, but like they are not aggressive
doing.
And their bodies, I think we have this, we're, you know, for all of our understanding of the constructs of gender, we still have a lot of men built for war but going to Tesco's. Like, that's what they're doing. It's wow. So crazy. It just seems crazy.
Well, that's Love Island.
Yeah, but at least they're making some coin out of it. Like, they're not pottering around. They're like, I love Love Island, sorry. I just find it so stupid. But it's so stupid. The tasks, I love the tasks, because every task is hump something like it's another person. That's all they do. Like, crush this watermelon with your ass, and you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, that makes complete sense.
I find Love Island odd. I think it promotes so many toxic things, but gets this weird free pass in pop culture. And really, people who would never normally support things that are corrosive, like, go on and on about it. And I don't know how,
like,
that's
me,
happened.
Yeah. It's definitely, like, against some of my core values. And I watch it and I will be like, maybe I do need veneers. Like, it does that thing, like,
me
when
too.
You're on Instagram too much and you start to want things.
Yes.
It does that really quick.
Yes. But you were in this very top secret famous WhatsApp group, weren't you, about Love Island?
I was in a very top... this is like Fight Club. I don't think I can talk about it.
Oh, come on.
The first rule of the top secret Love Island WhatsApp is we don't talk about it.
Let me tell you, every other person who's in it talks about it. So,
I got invited in... I was in France working on my second book and woke up from a nap, and it was like a lot of quite well-known big ass feminists, not physically big assed, like major feminists.
Cancelled again.
Saying, welcome to the group, Raven Smith.
Who else is in this group?
I don't even feel like I can do names.
Of course
I was invited.
You can. Raven, it's very public knowledge, this WhatsApp group.
Okay, so I was invited by Scarlett Curtis.
Yeah.
So she is the, like, owner of the group. She wrote a few things at the top, which is like, there are people from the from former Love Islands here. Don't be a dickhead. Like, a few, like, Fight Clubs. Who else is in there?
So Scarlett Curtis is Richard Curtis's and Emma Freud's daughter. Right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And they're both in the group.
Got it.
As well. We had Jonathan Ross for a bit, but he.
Oh, what happens when they leave the group? Did you see him leave? Did he leave the group? He got booted out.
No. You can't boot someone out, can you? I didn't even know you could do that. No, he left voluntarily. I feel like I'm really grassing him up. It was that very early J.K. Rowling came out being quite transphobic in the most kind of toxically empathetic women for women way. It was very, very early days. And people were like, what is going on? We were talking about it in the group and he just left. So it was about that time. And then he did a tweet. He did his tweet that was like, I stand with JK later that day.
Oh, my.
So I can't tell you that they're connected things.
No. But also, like, you don't need to send any kind of tweet. I don't understand people getting involved in that crap. I don't understand it.
Yeah, but then, honestly, Chris, these are the times where people are offering opinions that are unnecessary. I've got a career on it. It's compulsive to join in, and they're designed to make us want to.
And have you now left the group?
No, I'm still in it, but it's not very active.
Do people sometimes be like, hey, everyone, I'm selling my fridge, £49 if you can collect?
Yeah, it's Gumtree. It's now feminist Gumtree.
Feminist Gumtree. We need that.
People are selling their old Margaret Atwoods. Yeah, that's what happened.
Can we discuss the thorny issue who comes up in your book of Antony Porowski? Porowski?
Yes. Right? I found it really difficult. He's one of the first men I wrote about, and I think he occupies this space in gay menness, queer eyeness, where he sort of has found this niche, certainly at the time, of like new masculinity, which is softer and less... more available to us, less mystique, just being enthusiastic and giddy about things. And I think when he first appeared on our screens, that was incredibly refreshing.
Mm.
And then we got a bit, you know, sick of it. We moved on. But that's, you know, that's culture for you. And I think even having a chapter devoted to him feels old already.
But are you sick of him?
No. No, I'm not sick of him. I'm not buying into... He's not... I mean, is he evolving as a brand? He's doing the same stuff, right? I think I am a, I'm a real one for a first series or something. I will really get into it. And I always find, I mean, you make series, so this isn't probably the wrong crowd, but like, I'm not that bothered about series two. It's never as good as series one.
Fleabag.
Yes. And do you know what? The worst time I've ever offered that opinion was to Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Wow.
And I was like, I just don't care about the second series. She's like, did you watch mine? And I was like, yes.
Was she holding 14 Golden Globes, Emmys, and that she won?
She had Adele's Grammys as well in her arms. She like, was with the Fox.
Adele would have given it to her. She would have just been like, there you go.
I love new stuff. And I think sometimes second series just capitalize on something you already... They don't really give you anything new.
Well, I will say...
They keep you going forward. I know.
The one thing I will say, the first series often has to like deliver quite a lot. And I feel like on the second series, the writers actually write the slightly more gentle, nuanced, personal stuff. And that's why I actually like a second series, which is why I thought Fleabag was so wonderful, the second series. So it can be great. Because inevitably, they're going to be turning this book into a TV show, aren't they, Raven?
My book? I don't fucking... I mean, do you think
it happened to Dolly Alderton, it'll happen to you.
Yeah, but she wrote... Her memoir felt like it moved from A to B. And I feel like mine is just me being like, what the fuck was that?
Just reorder the chapters. You'll be fine. Make it chronological.
I don't know if I am a TV boy. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Do you know what? I loved writing the book. Yep. But there's something about the way that I operate. And even to do with this whole series thing of like, I love new stuff.
Yes.
And actually working on a project for 4 years, for me is like, I don't know if I can care about anything for that long. It just seems so like, oh, you have to just work on one thing. And I love being like, oh, who wants 500 words on Madonna or Britney having another baby this week? Like, that's exciting to me to just do that and move on. So I quite like, you know, stepping stone through my life. And I guess something as big as a TV series is a road. You can't really...
Yeah. I mean, I hear you. I will say... that it doesn't feel like 4 years when you're doing it. It all feels very in the moment.
Okay.
And then you're like, oh, I've just lost 4 years of my life.
Like, let me count the rings. There's four more. What's happening?
Yeah.
I love the idea of it. I do love the idea of it.
Okay, well, consider this me optioning your book. Remember me.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, but have you seen Pen 15? Because this, for me, is like... No, you've seen Pen 15.
No, I haven't.
Christopher.
And I really need
to
watch
it. It's the best show I've ever seen.
Which people would think, anyone listening who is like, what is it? It looks like it says penis when you look at it on the...
Yeah, we used to write it on each other's hands at school. Do you want to be in the Pen 15 club?
Did you?
And then we'd write penis on someone's hand.
It's Australian, right?
It's American, but it's basically these two teenage girls, and it's in 2000, 2001, and they play themselves as the teenagers. So they're both like
That's
us,
it.
Adults. and but everyone else is a kid. But it's that is just like that's not why it's brilliant. It's brilliant because it like anything that I really love, it's really well observed, and it yes. just makes you feel that there's just like there's just two brilliant episodes. One is with a thong, and the mm-hmm. other one is when they decide that they're witches. And I've never like rolled on the floor laughing like really? Consistently for a whole episode or something.
So would so would you play yourself?
I don't think you can copy someone else's gimmick. But that, but when we were talking about the first book with a few TV companies, people mm-hmm. and what I do you know what Chris? What I find really hard is someone saying, "What do you? Where do you see yourself mm-hmm. in the year? What would you like to do?" I don't. I've never been a careerist like that. I've never had a game plan. I've always been really savvy about what I've been offered, mm-hmm. and I think that's led me where I am, right? My editor slid into my DMs and said, "Do you think you can write a book?" And I was like, "No, ma'am." And she said, come for a little quick drink with me at the pub. We went to the pub and it was like a great first date. And she convinced me that I could just write a bit more than I was writing for my column.
And as you can, because it's a wonderful, well, both books are wonderful, so you've proven it twice. Well, you're reminding me of an old Hollywood saying. They were talking about old Hollywood actresses. They were like, the definition of a star is someone who can identify material in which they will shine.
Mm.
And maybe it's just finding the things that you know you'll be good at. And maybe that isn't, you know, a 9-part series about your life based on Pen 15. Maybe it's a 500-word article about Madonna.
Yeah, I just wonder what the future holds. Who knows? Nearly all of my desires are family-focused. Like, that's where yes. I see myself. Family man.
Tell me more about that, if you don't mind talking about it, obviously.
I don't mind at all. I'm currently on day 4 of a sex ban because I'm going to the clinic tomorrow to give my deposit.
I'm going
to a private clinic, and the first time I did it, I went to the NHS, and it's mm-hmm. it's completely different. It's great.
They've got curtains in the private one, haven't they?
She was like, you don't have to arrive with it in your pocket. And I was like, right, thank you. Whereas the NHS were like, you have to bring it at this time, keep it warm, put it under your armpit in a canister. Like, it was very renegade.
So what happened to the NHS ones? Where are they?
It's just 2 years old, and you have to have one within a sperm test within a year before they will help you to make embryos.
Interesting. Okay.
So it just dated out.
So would you give it all up and be a dad?
I don't think you have to give it all up to be a dad, Chris. I think it's like...
Sorry, I only say that because you said, oh, my priorities are family.
Just when I think of a future, it's never like careerist. It's always like, oh, I'd quite like to have some people to don't know, shuffle some of this onto. Put all of this theory into practice of like trying to be a remotely good person.
Yes.
You know?
Have you ever reflected on the fact that they will then read this book?
I think that's okay. If my mum can read it, when they're adults, they can read it. Because Louis Theroux read his dad's book, right? And his dad's like doing some crazy travel shagging.
No, yeah, I honestly didn't ask the question as in like, oh my God, they're going to read it. I just thought it's an interesting to think of the generations beyond you rather than one's own self.
Yeah, I think the first pitch for the book, the last chapter was meant to be talking to my future son, explaining what I had learned on my travels through my life. But I haven't learned anything.
that's fascinating, because actually it was one of the things I wanted to ask you, is like, who didn't make it in? But what would you... you say you've learned nothing. I mean, I'm not having that. What do you think you've learned? Because I love the final chapter, I think it is the final chapter, where you sort of say, I don't feel a dot of the shame I initially felt when I realised I was a gay man. And basically saying, if that's the case, then that's a life well lived. And I just thought that was stunning.
I read it back. It was it was going to print. My editor was like, you have to write this today if you want to conclude this book. And I was looking through the pages and I was like, God, I've had such a good time being a gay man. And I just didn't want to pretend that it's been sad and the hard things weren't. The hard things have been hard. A lot of shit has gone down on the good ship Raven Smith. But I'm also have no gay shame. And I remember I remember when my entire personality was structured around the shame I had about being a gay, about realizing I was gay and not having told anyone, being terrified that someone was going to find out from a mannerism or the wrong shoes or not baggy jeans or being too keen in science class in school, like all of these stupid things. And the second I came out, my life was like, it's like an upward spiral. Immediately, I was very insular and quiet. And the second I realized I was gay, I was like, let's just keep that between me and me. And I think the second I came out, it was like, oh, I'm back. I was back to my old self. And it was like overnight. It was just a relief to not, it's not the shame wasn't gone then, but it was a relief not to be carrying it, the secret of it. And I think my mum was great. I mean, I cannot really, I think she had a big freak out, but it was not, I was not privy to her, whatever she went through. She was just very supportive.
Oh, I love that.
I came out on the phone. I mean,
ooh. Did you? I remember someone saying to me when I came out, this friend from art college said, you stand completely differently since you told people.
Yeah.
And I think the physical and emotional tax on anything like that you're keeping to yourself, whether gay or whatever, like is massive, and we must remember that. And like, you know, or like money or anything, like problems that you feel you can't share, like it's why I always try and share them as much as possible, because it's once you've worked out that beyond that, beyond spitting it out, nothing actually implodes. And weirdly, you self-evaluate, you self-select. The people around you self-select, because those who don't help lose interest and those who are wonderful stay and help. You know what I mean? But you do get very used to being, as a queer person, being on your own and not sharing anything with anyone. And I mean, I still do it today. I literally did it earlier today. But you have to remember and learn.
Well, I just feel like I came out and I still wasn't free of like my internalized homophobia. And now I am. To a degree, you know? I still was like, I'm going to just be like a straight guy who fancies men. That's cool. I'm cool.
Yeah.
It's like about, now I'm like, oh, I'm very happy being a big old gay. So I guess that is the conclusion of the book, right? I have no discomfort in my gayness. And that, what more privileged place could I be in as a gay man?
And also through encounters with these men who are selected, you have, through them, you have been able to see the kind of man you are, and sounds like you're happy with him. And why wouldn't you be?
True. I don't know what to say. Yeah, I mean,
this is where we cry.
Yeah, none of the things that I don't know what I dislike about myself, but none of it is based on my masculinity.
Well, that's wonderful to hear, nor should it be.
I just really like myself. Not because I think I'm... But I just had just the right amount of therapy when I'm like, oh, I am working to be something better all the time, but I'm not in a state of dislike about where I'm at right now. And I think that is what I would keep thinking. I think the more times you say to yourself, am I happy? The more you're like, I don't think I am. Like, I think it's like I think you prod it and prod it and prod it. You need a little bit of denial to keep yourself cushioned and safe. Like, the happiest people live in the biggest bubble, right? I mean, there has to be a bit of like, not everything is futile. I might leave a mark on this planet that's positive. Like, if you really think about it, who does, you know? So there has to be this feeling of like, I'm gonna keep the people close to me. I'm gonna just work to look after them. I'm gonna try and get as much judgment out of my relationships with them as possible. And just let them fuck up if they need to fuck up, and not be like, well, that's the kind of thing he or she always kind of used to be like. Oh, she's always doing stuff like that. Just being like, okay, you fucked up. What? How are you? Tell me about it.
Wowee. I loved chatting with Raven. It's such a wild combo of like very deep chat and then very funny chat. Let us know what you thought of that. Get in touch at Homo Sapiens on Instagram, at Homo Sapiens Podcasts on Facebook, and hello@homosapienspodcast.com on email, mon favorite. Send us your comments, send us your questions, send us your agony uncles. All right, you lovely lot. Loads of love from me. Bye now.
ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Powered by Spirit Studios.